Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is April 25, 2013, and tonight we're talking about exciting collaborations between National Writing Project sites and national parks. I'm your host, Tanya Baker, at the NWP in Berkeley, California. Tonight we will talk with local Writing Project site leaders and the National Park Service representatives who are working together to plan summer programs for young people focused on reading and writing at several historic sites in the Northeast. Writing Project sites have, for many years, offered youth camps and academies for young people of all ages. Combining efforts with the National Park Service and their excellent educational programming is a natural alliance. Although tonight's show has been pre-recorded, if you are listening at airtime, we invite you to join us in the chat room where we will post links to materials related to tonight's program. We are pleased to have several guests to talk with us about National Park Service National Writing Project collaborations. Tonight we are welcoming Judy Buchanan, the Deputy Director of the National Writing Project, Lois McGee, Co-Director of the Philadelphia Writing Project, and Renee Albertoli, an interpretive specialist at Independence National Historical Park. We are also welcoming Mary Bucklew, director of the Pennsylvania Writing and Literature Project, and Rhonda Shear, chief of interpretation and education at Valley Forge National Historical Park. And finally, we will talk with Lisa Taliano, who's the director of the Green Mountain Writing Project at the University of Vermont, along with Joan Haley, education coordinator, and Tim McGuire, chief of interpretation at Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Great to be here.
You're welcome.
Great to be here.
So this is an exciting topic, and the first time I'm going to get to interview anyone from the Park Service on our show, so I really want to jump right in. Judy, I'm hoping you could provide some historical context for the work we are about to hear about. How and why did this work get its start in the NWP network?
Thanks, Tanya. As you said in your introduction, connecting youth writing programs at Writing Project sites with educational programming at national parks and historic sites opens up opportunities for rich out-of-school learning experiences for young people. And, of course, the Writing Project is ever invented in this way. And it was Mary Bucklew, director of the Pennsylvania Writing and Literature Project, and a TC from her site, Diana Berkelich at Westchester University, who first connected the Writing Project's youth programs to nearby Valley Forge National Historical Park. And that led to a conversation over time between the National Writing Project and the National Park Service in the Northeast region. And together, through this fortuitous connection, I met with Barbara Polarine, Chief of Interpretation, Education, and Partnerships for all of the Northeast region national parks. And we decided to pilot a collaboration beginning in the summer of 2012 with two programs, one that Mary's going to talk about at Valley Forge, and a second collaboration between the Philadelphia Writing Project and the Independence National Historical Park. And you'll hear about that tonight as well. All of us followed these two programs with interest and excitement over the summer, including the documentation of the students' work online at the Independence Park website. And we're happy to announce, and we were thrilled to learn, that Renee Albertoli, who's a park ranger there, received the National Park Service Freeman Tilden Award for Interpretive Excellence for Project Write Inspire Me, which is the program that she and Lois will be sharing later on this show. Building on and expanding the experiences of 2012, several new collaborations are in the works for the summer of 2013.
Well, Judy, that's a great frame for the whole show. Thank you so much. And I think we might as well go ahead and hear about some of these programs because I think listeners will be really excited to jump right in. Let's bring in Renee and Lois to tell us about their project, Project Write Inspire Me. Lois?
Yeah, well, Hi. Last summer, the Independence National Historical Park and Phil Whip collaborated to put together a program for our students. Project Write tends to be our signature program with the Writing Project. each year, but this year, last year was quite different in that we had students come to the park, and the collaboration focused a lot on artifacts and primary source documents, as well as the literature and literacy development that was always a part of the program. We found the collaboration and partnership to be really beneficial to, I think, to both of us, but especially to the Philadelphia Writing Project. And tonight we're going to share with you some of the experiences that our students had, some of the lessons we learned, and tell you what we have planned for this summer.
That sounds fantastic. Thanks, Lois. Renee, first, congratulations on the Freeman Tillman Award. That's really exciting.
Oh, thank you.
And I wonder if you might get us started talking about Project Write by just sharing what some of the highlights were for you in this project last year.
Well, what better place to journey down the road of literacy than where the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were both drafted? Last summer, we immersed the students in place-based learning. So they had the opportunity to grill Thomas Jefferson on slavery in the Declaration House. They filmed their own original creative works in the creepy basement at the Edgar Allan Poe House. And they visited the president's house site with the archaeologist who led the dig there. So we visited the past each day, but we always ended up in the present. The students created a literary magazine, they kept a blog, made YouTube videos, and tweeted all about it. We posted all of that on our website.
That is fantastic. I understand that as you move from last year's experience to thinking about this year, that you're adding a new partner into the collaboration. Lois, can you tell the audience about that, please?
Sure will. We're very excited to have Moore College of Art collaborating with Independence National Historic Park and with Phil Whipp this year. And Moore College brings another component to our program that we're really excited about. Not only will they bring digital cameras and iPads and support for 21st century writing, which will be in the image making and photo essays, but also an artist facilitator who will actually be working with the students directly. So we're really very grateful to Moore College of Art for their input and for being part of this, and we look forward to this upcoming 2013 Project Write.
So exciting. Renee, what did you learn from the experience last year that you'll bring with you as you plan with the Writing Project and Moore College this year?
Well, based on last summer's program, we've identified components that we want to retain and improvements we can make. In terms of the improvements, this year we'll make sure the facilitators have the opportunity to tour all the historic sites before the program begins. We don't want them to be experiencing the national park for the first time when they're with the students, so we'll plan for that better this year. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the selection of facilitators, we found that we need facilitators who have a more 21st century skill set, who can mm-hmm. provide more hands-on learning experiences in terms of technology.
That makes sense to me, yeah. And what other changes are you planning for this year's experience? Lois, do you
well,
have some ideas?
Yeah. Our syllabus is much more detailed this year than it was last year. We've decided that some of the things that were missing from last year's lesson planning were, mini lessons on writing and or on the use of technology and or artifacts on a daily basis. So we plan to have mini lessons. We also made sure that every day starts with an essential question so that we're clear on where we want to go for that particular day. And we were grateful or hopeful that the more fleshed out syllabus will make it easier for our facilitators to plan and to ensure that they get everything in each day.
And Renee, did you want to tell us about some of the particular activities you have scheduled for this year?
Oh, we have some exciting activities scheduled this year. I'm looking forward to seeing the teens create their own modern declarations this summer, but I'm especially excited about our planned flash mob-style reading of the Declaration of Independence right on Independence Square. I hope everyone will watch the videos from our events on YouTube. I really hope that all of the people in our education community have an opportunity to participate by blogging with our students. It's that interaction through the blog that was so very successful last year. So look for it again this year.
That's really exciting. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about this project in relationship to a lot of things that people are talking about in education right now. I feel like listening to your description of the work, it feels like it's like a perfect educational experience for students trying to meet the Common Core State standards, for students wanting to develop 21st century skills, and also for students sort of becoming engaged citizens in our democracy.
I think it does exactly what you were saying. It strikes the perfect balance between between content and the skill set needed to communicate effectively in our society. And then when you consider, you know, how history has been treated in the last 10 years in our public schools, I mean, this is something that's greatly needed, even in the city of Philadelphia, where history is around us everywhere. Many of our students have never even been to Independence National Historic Park. So it really is needed. And I agree. I think it's going to help our students achieve the Common Core as well. Now, from the park's point of view, it gives us an opportunity to show the kids, our local kids, that the park is relevant to their lives today. And that's what gives us an opportunity to help build park stewardship for the future.
I have to say that this is totally off script, that that if I love anything more than I love public education, or anything as much as I love public education, it's the National Park Service. So this work is so thrilling to me, to bring these two things together.
That's my sentiments exactly.
Wow. And I get to host the show today. I'm so excited. So I just have one more question, because a lot of times when we're talking about the Common Core and we're talking about the need to develop student skills, we talk a lot about rigor, and that often comes across as sounding like everything will be harder or more difficult. So I feel like when you describe the things that students are going to be doing in the summer experience, that that it does seem rigorous and it does meet all these standards, but it also sounds like it might be a lot of fun. So I'm wondering if you could tell me one or two things that you think the kids really loved last year, if you could describe an activity or an event.
Well, there were a few that were really popular with the kids last year. I think the day that they might have enjoyed the most is when we visited the Edgar Allan Poe National Historic Site. That's a unit of Independence Park right here in Philadelphia. And we had an opportunity to tour the house. Then they competed in an interactive game to test their knowledge at the end of the tour. The best part is when we went down into the basement, which is reminiscent of the basement in the Black Cat story written by Poe. And by the light of cell phone, we filmed their own original creative works, which then went up on YouTube. And for the kids to be in that basement and to film by cell phone light was so exciting. They absolutely loved it. I was sort of surprised by some of the other activities that they enjoyed. I wasn't so sure that they would enjoy making a timeline of communication. So we're talking about how words have been transmitted through the years.
So I actually had a manual typewriter and an electric typewriter, and the kids all wanted to use the manual typewriter. They just had never seen such a thing before. So that was a great activity day as well. From writing with quill pens all the way up to at the end of that day, we sent our first tweet.
That is fantastic. I am so excited for students in Philadelphia for this experience. I'm so excited to hear about the work. I'm going to ask you a really sort of basic logistics question as my last question before we talk to some other guests, but I'm sure people are wondering as they begin to imagine such possibilities in their own place, how do you make this experience possible for students? Do kids pay a tuition like other summer camp experiences?
We do advertise the tuition cost, which would be $300 for students to attend the two-week experience. However, thanks to Independence National Historic Park and to Moore College of Art, most of our students will be here on scholarship because of the generous gifts that that both are making to us. We also have often found that that churches and other community groups often are willing to sponsor students who cannot afford the tuition. So we're pretty open about telling people, don't let lack of funds be the reason you don't apply. And we've been successful and able to get scholarships for most of our students.
That's fantastic. I hope you're both able to stay around till the end of the show. If we have some extra time, we might ask you to respond to each other's work or to give some last advice to people who are inspired by your work. But thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Yeah, me too. So let's do that. Let's bring in Mary and Rhonda to hear about their work at Valley Forge. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Tanya.
It's always so nice to get to talk with you. I'm excited to hear about this work at your site. Could you start by just telling us how it got started?
Sure. Hi, and thanks again, Tanya. Well, you mentioned the word possibilities, and one of the things that when we visit the different sites in the summer and talk to the TCs, we invite them to imagine possibilities, other partnerships, other passions they would like to follow. So sort of a result of a conversation that I had with Diana Berkowitz resulted in this connection to Valley Forge. She came to me at the end of the summer teaching at one of our public school sites and said, you know, Valley Forge is in my backyard. Is there any reason we're not offering a young readers camp there? And I said, I don't know. I don't know why we haven't thought of it before. So that was the beginning of our partnership with Valley Forge, that conversation. We then spent a lot of time front-loading and preparing. Our initial visit resulted from a call that I made, and we met a quite impressive array of park rangers, chief interpretive staff members, Rhonda Shear being one of them. And so that initial conversation took place between myself, Diana, Karen Polowitz, our other summer administrator, TC, and I think five or six people from Valley Forge, again, Rhonda and Barbara Pollerine being there as well.
That's awesome. Mary, I understand that you were maybe we've already talked about this, but do you want to say any more about your ability to draw on the particular strengths of your teacher consultants and who could take a lead in this work?
Well, Diana has such a deep background in history and her love of Valley Forge and the fact that it is in her backyard and that she was very well-versed. And I think Rhonda, when we get to talk to her later, will also talk about how that really enhanced the whole experience for our collaboration. So it's getting to know the TCs. I mean, going out to visit the youth sites and staying in contact, it allows us to know, who would most thoughtfully pursue this or who needs more preparation. Diana did not at all. And I think one of the things that I did want to talk about, Diana's willingness to do all the pre-planning and front-loading with Rhonda and I. We visited the camp in addition to the initial visit. We also visited the camp at least 6 times before the summer started. I think Lois mentioned this and talked about how important that is, getting to know the site before the camp starts. So we visited at least 6 times. We started out at the Education Tour Center, the home base. We visited Washington's headquarters, historic mansions, wayside exhibits and displays. Diana made some individual visits. And then we met several times with Rhonda to really look at the content and curriculum of the course. We had a delightful lunch at the Valley Forge Chapel Cabin, and really honed in on exactly what we wanted to have while leaving open possibilities. One of our really important visits, after we met with Rhonda at the Chapel Cabin store, was the walking tour that Diana and I took, because Valley Forge National Park is sprawling. Rhonda, how huge is Valley Forge National Historical Park?
3,500 acres.
Yes, so with all those acres, and we had several different locations, as Philadelphia did, but they were some miles apart. Diana and I visited each one, walked each one in May and or early June, I guess, and found out things that we might not have had we not visited in different times during the year, that it was going to be very hot, that children couldn't wear sandals as they did to maybe our university site. Rhonda shared with us other things that we hadn't thought about, like the ticks and the pamphlet that we needed to give parents. So that pre-planning and front-loading, and Diana's willingness, and obviously Rhonda, the willingness of Diana to participate in that, because she really was so excited about the whole opportunity.
That is a really fantastic overview of how. I mean, often when we talk about programs, we get people really excited about the program, but this is really, and then they say, but how do you get started? And that's a really great overview of how you get started, Mary. Thanks. We're about to bring Rhonda in too, but before I do, what was it like to work with her?
Fabulous. She was a true partner, and with 3,000 acres, we didn't expect her to be with us every day, but she was an integral part of the whole program, presenting, giving us tips, and her expertise really did help us shape the program. So it was absolutely fabulous to have such a great partner.
Well, what a great introduction, Rhonda. We'd love to hear from you about the course or the summer experience from your point of view.
Well, it was a wonderful experience for me, and I have some classroom teaching in my background, so it was a natural matchup to have me work with Diana and Mary. I was often telling the story that one day when Diana and I were going around to get previews of the sites and some different ideas, we grabbed a sandwich at the Valley Forge Deli and tore around the park like a couple of pre-service teachers excited about our student teaching assignment. you know that feeling when the heart is racing and you're so excited about what you have ahead, and you know you've got a real commitment to the project. And so that was the way the whole thing kind of started, and it stayed at that high level of energy through the entire experience. But I guess with me, the philosophy behind the whole project was that we really wanted to start with a real authentic immersion experience for the kids. And so the idea was that not only did we immerse them in the resources and the stories and the significance of Valley Forge National Historical Park, but then we started to inspire them with those kinds of historical characters and those kinds of exciting stories, so that they could then implement the writing skills that they learned as they got more and more familiar with the park. And so it was sort of a 3-stage process of immersion, inspiration, and implementation as these children became literateurs. And I don't use that word lightly. I love hearing Renee telling the stories about the Edgar Allan Poe National Historic Site. When I was stationed in Philadelphia, that was one of my duty stations. And we love to tell the story about how Poe really didn't want to go through the traditional lifestyle and choose a traditional career that his family may have wanted, but his heart and soul was towards becoming a literateur, a reader and a writer. And so our kids had that experience of immersing themselves in the stories here and becoming literateurs in ways that they never even recognized before.
Oh, that's so beautifully said, Rhonda. I wonder if you could tell us about some of the particular immersion activities. What did you do? What did kids do?
Well, you know, at Valley Forge, we have the story here of Washington's encampment during the winter of 1777 and 78, which was the third winter of an eight-year Revolutionary War. So we had to start by helping the children understand the concept of the Continental Soldier, the concept of surviving against great odds in the huts, and the story of General Washington, Commander-in-Chief, Washington's leadership. And so right off the bat, we introduced them to a historical reenactor, Dean Melissa, who does a wonderful job portraying George Washington. And I tell you, he just got in those kids' faces, and he said, "What do you value in this world? What do you think's important to democracy?" And the kids' eyes got real big on day one. And then to show the other side of his personality, George then suddenly changed the game on the kids and decided it was time to teach them how to do the minuet. So he pulled young Faith into front and center position. Interestingly enough, I found out later, Faith is a dancer, and she helped demonstrate to the other students how to dance the minuet with General Washington. And then we also had our Continental soldiers do musket demonstrations. We took the kids out every morning with the park rangers to help raise the flag. We toured the historical houses. We got a behind-the-scenes tour of the museum collection. One of the most wonderful days was going into the park library, which was full of all sorts of vintage and antique books. We had storytelling sessions and lots of read-alouds with storybooks.
Wow, it sounds like such a great experience. And then how did kids get from these great immersion experiences to writing? What kind of writing did they do, and where did it kind of fit in?
Well, this is where Diana pulled into front and center her wonderful experience with teaching writing, because she had all sorts of different kinds of pattern poetry forms to teach. The kids learned how to do diamantes and haikus and tanka poems. We taught them how to do free verse and list poems. We taught them about doing letters and diary entries. And so there were several different moments where we took them either inside or outside or under a tree or sitting on a towel and just started teaching them a pattern that they could become familiar with and have the confidence that they could get a few words on paper. These were elementary age students and weren't quite ready for extended writing, but they could certainly do a prompted writing activity and learn a pattern poem or write a paragraph or write a letter. And then it just kind of continued from there where they gained more confidence and more skill.
That's a great range of opportunities and invitations for young students to write. I understand that you brought a sample of student writing with you. Would you like to share it?
I would. You know, it was the final goal of this whole project was to have the students contribute to the group anthology. And so there's a couple things here that I have in front of me. One of them is an example of how they responded to this day that we took them into the wonderful library. You know, I think the readers of our works and the listeners of the radio show are probably literateurs like we all are and love the idea of the library. So let me read a little something called Shelves and Shelves of Books. So much information about the Continental Army, a great place to learn with lots and lots of books, fiction books and children's books and novels, old beautiful books, window sills and window seats, staircases and balconies, a George Washington statue, a big bay window, an old chandelier, kind of like a lantern, shelves and shelves of books, old and beautiful books.
Oh,
but then not all of it was so lighthearted. Of course, they're learning the story of the Revolutionary War and the business of war. So here's a diamante where it takes the reader from one concept to an opposing concept. So we start with peace. And listen to the change in the third line. Peace. Friendly, quiet,
relaxing, talking, respecting, laughter, happiness, hate, disturbance, fighting, shooting, hitting, bloody, frustrating war.
Wow, those are amazing. Thank you for bringing them and sharing them.
We always like the kids' voice to be the central story of the writing camps because it's from their perspective and their point of view that we look at history and we look at life maybe a little differently.
That's lovely. Thank you. I'm just thinking that my daughter is sort of probably between the ages of the kids in your summer experience and the students in the Philadelphia experience, but I would love for her to have such an experience in a national park. Were the parents excited about this summer camp?
The parents loved it. You know, they would drop off the kids in the morning and pick up the kids at the end of the day, and we had different drop-off points depending on where the activity was scheduled. And you could see their longing to come out of the car and into the group and participate with us, but they had to go to work. So we realized that we're probably one of the extension activities we should add to this year's program is a way for the parents to have a day and let the kids give the parents the tour of that wonderful vintage library and let the kids pull the books off the shelves and help the parents get some behind-the-scenes look. We have parents say, boy, I wish I'd seen the museum collection that was, you know, hidden away in the vault. And when they did come to the graduation ceremony, the kids did a reader's theater to share what they had learned and what they had composed. And we had parents tell us that the kids loved every minute of the camp experience and just talked about it when they came home to share all the details of what they had experienced.
I'm glad you said that about the parents with a look of longing on their face because that would totally have been me. Like, oh, my God, I want to go to that camp. So you've already said one thing about where you'll go this summer, that you're going to include a parents' day. What else did you learn in thinking about the work from last year? Mary?
Well, we love...
Oh, hi, Tanya.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Mary.
Either one of you, really.
No, Rhonda, go ahead, and I'll follow up.
I was just going to say we love the technology approach that Renee did with her program down at Independence, and we would like to start pulling in some iPad work and some kinds of web postings as well. So we were inspired by the Independence project to realize that we can bring our kids into that kind of a digital experience as well and share more electronically to meet the current generation.
That's nice. And Mary, did you want to add?
I just actually ditto, if that will work. The technology piece, definitely the Philadelphia Writing Camp inspired us to think along those lines. And we also have a summer post-summer debriefing meeting after with all of the different sites that we work with, from the James Michener Museum, Valley Forge, Longwood Gardens, Highlands Historical Mansion, and Pennypacker Mills. And all of the TCs who teach at these different sites then kind of cross-pollinate, if you will, and give each other ideas. And as a result of our post-summer meeting last year in August, we are now piloting, and Rhonda and I are very excited, and she can speak more to this as well. We're really excited to pilot a one-credit graduate course, Reading, Writing, and Art in Valley Forge National Historical Park. That's the title of the course. And it will be one credit, and teachers will attend in the morning working with Diana and Rhonda and work alongside the children, working with them, interacting with them. And then in the afternoon, when the children have left, they'll have the afternoon to debrief their morning and talk about the implications and applications to their classrooms, to field trips to Valley Forge Historical National Park. So they'll have it should be a great opportunity. We're very excited about piloting this one-credit graduate course because we have a model also for a three-credit graduate course. And if we didn't provide the venue for everyone to get together and talk about what they do in the summer, some of these ideas would just not come to fruition. So we just think those meetings are rich. As Rhonda said, well, we're planning or not, our hearts are racing, we're excited about the possibilities, and so we look forward to reporting on this, next year.
Well, we look forward to hearing about this next year. One final question for you, Rhonda, if that's okay. Our listening audience is often made up of writing project teachers or writing project teacher leaders, so I think we assume a lot of understanding about how or why this work feels like writing project work. But could you tell us, how, from the Park Service point of view, how does this work fit into the general scope, mission, or ambition of the Park Service?
Well, it's a perfect application of what the Park Service is striving for as we face beginning a second century of National Park Service work, because in 2016 we'll be celebrating our 100th year with the National Park Service. And with that, we have something called the Call to Action, which is a collection of different kinds of objectives and goals to make the Park Service more relevant and bring in a wider and diverse audience. And part of that is advancing the National Park Service education mission. And so our goal is to take on a larger education role and help our citizens build a better understanding of our shared heritage. So some of the specific goals that fit perfectly with this project is one that says we'll help students develop a deep understanding of park resources and the relevance of parks. Another one is provide multiple ways for children to learn about the parks and what they reveal about nature and history, reach new audiences, and maintain a conversation with all Americans. So, you know, this whole thing about reading and writing and becoming literateurs, that is exactly what we're talking about, because that is communication and that is conversation. So it's a perfect match to what we're striving to achieve.
That's fantastic news for writing projects near national parks everywhere. Thank you both so much for sharing your work. I am really thinking about how Mary got us started on this segment, thinking about possibilities, and I am excited now to bring in Lisa, Joan, and Tim, who are planning their first collaborative project this summer, and I'm sure they've been listening and taking notes like crazy and thinking about possibilities. So I'm excited to hear what they're most excited about as I look forward to this summer. And again, I hope you'll stick around for the end of the show, because I would love for us all to have a few minutes to chat together. Lisa, Joan, and Tim, let's just start with some background. Can you tell us how your partnership got started?
Sure, Tanya. Hi, this is Lisa. I'll get us started today. We received an invitation from Joy Alberts from the National Writing Project to think about a collaboration with the Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park. So she gave me the contact information for Joan Haley, and I called Joan, and we set up a meeting. And I think since our first meeting, we've just been really excited about the idea of collaborating, what we can do as a historical park together with the writing project. And I just want to say thank you to all the other presenters as well, because I have been taking notes like crazy, and probably Joan and Tim have too, and getting really great ideas from listening to the show. So thanks, everybody. You know, Vermont's a small state, and we're the only project in our state, so we like to make the most out of our resources, and working in partnership with other organizations has been a wonderful way to do that. And I think I would just like to turn it over back to you, Tanya, to invite Joan and Tim to tell us more about Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park.
That's perfect. That's actually a perfect segue. I don't know if you even need me. Tim and Joan, can you tell us a little bit about your park, please?
Hi, yes. This is Tim McGuire here. the park is a donated property. It was donated to the National Park System by the Rockefeller family in 1998. So we're fairly young, about 16 years old. the theme of the park is the history of conservation and land stewardship. All three of the people in our long-named national park, Marsh, Billings, and Rockefeller, are all uniquely associated with this 550-acre property, and also each of them had a profound influence on the conservation movement. So George Marsh is born on the property in 1801. He writes a book in 1864 called Man and Nature. The book is considered the fountainhead of the conservation movement. The book warns of inappropriate land use throughout the world and the implications for future generations and civilization in general. Frederick Billings heeds the warnings of George Marsh and actually buys this property and creates a model estate in both farming and forestry. So it's actually the oldest continuously managed forest in North America. The last name that most people recognize is the Rockefeller family. Frederick Billings' granddaughter marries Lawrence Rockefeller right here in town in Woodstock, Vermont, in 1934. And, of course, the Rockefeller family, including Lawrence, they are the largest land philanthropy family in United States history. So we have this unique combination of activists in the conservation movement. So it is the theme of our park. Historically, the conservation movement, and even currently, has been really influenced by the humanities, writers in particular, artists and photographers. So it's really the humanities are what really drive the movement in a lot of ways. So this is a really an appropriate project for the park here. So we're really happy to be involved.
So exciting. Joan, do you want to add anything else about the park?
I do. I could talk about the park all day long. I love the park. As Tim said, it's got a very rich history. There's so many things that we can delve into with the different families that took care of this place and really thought about conservation in a deep way. And it also has actually a wonderful art collection and a beautiful mansion on the property. So we have the kind of cultural resources here to inspire people. And then the natural resources here, again, I think are just perfect for really getting those young minds and the other professionals we work at thinking about what's important in their lives, what's important to protect and to think about how to take care of. We, for example, have these lovely carriage roads that Billings built that you can easily travel throughout the woods. And frankly, there's not too many ugly places in Vermont, but this is one of the most beautiful. And you can actually go up to the top of the hill and overlook this gorgeous valley that looks like it hasn't changed much in the last 100 years. So you can really imagine what some of these folks might have seen back then. So we have a lot of different resources to pull from, and that's why we thought it was such a great opportunity to partner with the National Writing Project, because it's to me, the perfect place to really inspire those young minds. It also is a place that we really try to produce a sense of wonder in the people who come here and really get them thinking. And so, as we said, the park is dedicated to conservation stewardship, which is taking care of places. Of course, we can't do this alone, so we are. The park is also very dedicated to partnerships. In fact, my own position is a partnership between Shelburne Farms and the park. And you can't walk very far in this park without bumping into a project that has multiple partners. So, again, we were so excited to have the National Writing Project come in because they seem to complement what we do so well. Then, for example, Tim, he knows the park inside and out, knows the history and the cultural resources and the natural resources. We have other experts here. My specialty is place-based education, professional development, and Lisa, of course, knows writing, so that's a great combo. Also, logistically, we feel like we complement one another because we have the place to do it, and Lisa has a great network of people that she can draw from. So, again, we feel like our different organizations can really offer something to make this project a success. We also, if I may, just talk a little bit about what we might offer to teachers in our professional development. We have a program called the Park for Every Classroom, and that's how I first heard about the National Writing Project through Rhonda, actually. And she, by the way, is your best promoter out there. She definitely sings the praises and got us all excited about it. A Park for Every Classroom works with 8 different parks, and we have what we call teams that are made up of a teacher, a community partner, and the park. And so we really try to think about this. It kind of takes a village to be able to create and cultivate stewards in our community. We take that approach. So, again, we were very excited to hear about something like the National Writing Project that seems such a good fit for these park teams through Park for Every Classroom. And we're hoping to learn a lot more from Valley Forge about what they've done and see if we can help to make our program a success as well. And then we also have what's called the Force for Every Classroom, which is looking at place-based education. It's a teacher professional development program. It's a year-long program. And that has traditionally been a little bit science-heavy, really focused on force and learning about force, which is great. But we're so excited to have Lisa here this Friday to kick off this course so that we balance it more with that language arts portion. So we really have a more holistic approach to this. And then we also have something called Park Research Project, where we work with local teachers, and they develop park-based units. And there's all kinds of units out there that they come up with. So this is just another thing to add to the menu of things that they might want to think of. So in so many ways, we feel like we can infuse this work into what we do.
That's fantastic, Joan. And Tim, thanks for introducing us to your park. And it's really exciting. I think at the end of the show, I'm going to try to come back to this idea of having complementary skills and knowledge sets. I think that's a really interesting way to think about partnership and these partnerships in particular. But for now, Lisa, to help us see the sort of round out this vision of complementarity, can you tell us about the Green Mountain Writing Project and how it connects to some of the things that Lisa has talked about? That Joan has talked about.
Absolutely. And right away, I just wanted to say one of the things that I've been thinking about listening to Joan talk today and thinking back to something that somebody else said earlier on about, you know, the national standards, the Common Core standards, and where we are in terms of rigor in our teaching and thinking and learning with students. And I think that this kind of partnership that we're planning really offers an opportunity for us to strengthen our work and fosters really good cross-disciplinary connections in schools and other settings for students and families, too, you know, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about the work that we're embarking on this year. So the Green Mountain Writing Project belongs to the University of Vermont, and we're located in Burlington, Vermont. And the funny thing is our project and the museum are about 90 miles apart, so we've had to do creative kinds of technological communication to plan and meet. We've met in person, and I would not agree more than with the person who before said it's really important for anybody who's working as a facilitator to be on the site and on the National Historical Park, because being at the Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park was a truly wonderful day, and I can't wait to go back to teach and work there and to bring my husband. So it's a really amazing site. One of the projects that the Green Mountain Writing Project has been involved in is with the Turning Points in American History group, Elise Guyette and Scott McLaughlin and Wendy Halleck, and also in partnership with the Shelburne Museum, Karen Peterson, Daphne Zensi, and Bonnie Douglas, and two teacher consultants from our project, Charlie Farrell and Kate Lamb. And the eight of us have been working on primary source study groups for the last 3 years, the first year the Revolutionary War era, the second year the Civil War era, and this year we're doing social reform era, using primary sources and writing to really develop unique and interesting ways of working with students and improving the teaching of history and writing together. So that was a great background for beginning the work with Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park.
Nice.
Do you want more information? Any other questions you have, Tanya, about the project specifically?
Yeah, I think actually that's what I would love to jump in and talk about the project that you're planning.
Great. So I'm going to turn it over to Joan and Tim. Would you like to take over a little bit?
Sure, but jump right in.
Okay, I will.
And I have to say that something that really intrigued me about this project, frankly, was just meeting Lisa. I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, here we go, another thing. You know, and I was a little bit hesitant just because, you know, there's so many great opportunities out there. But as soon as I met Lisa and talked to her, I thought, this is going to be fun, and it's actually not going to be that hard because we're on the same wavelength. So it was really, really great. And, I'm really looking forward to meeting with her again and planning this out and getting this going. And we are still very much in the planning stages, but I think one thing that we can agree on, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Lisa, is that we really want to get the kids, it's going to be for youth approximately age 11 to 16, focused on developing their sense of wonder, and really it's going to be inquiry-based. We take a lot of kids in the forest here, and they're not even looking around. So we really want to have them stop and take a breath and really take in their surroundings, have some quiet time to reflect. It just it's so important for our youth today to have that opportunity, for all of us, frankly, to have that opportunity. And that's something we really work hard on here, because I think without that, you just can't develop that sense of caring for a place. You can't really develop those skills for reflection unless you have that opportunity. So I think that that's going to be very central. I think it is going to be very student-centered. We're not going to be talking too much. We're going to be the guys on the sides instead of the sage on the stage. And we're going to really look at what's meaningful for them and help them to make meaning out of their experiences. So it is going to be place-based, and it's going to be community-centered as well. So we really want them to think about what's relevant, what really sparks their passion. And how can they tap into that? And then, we're just going to focus on, we're going to really focus on helping them to, once they've identified that, to really draw it out and be able to articulate it well and explore it within themselves and then be able to share it. And then when they do that for a day, it's going to be a day long, they're going to go and they're going to present it at this festival called Bookstock, and I'm going to let Tim talk a little bit about that.
Perfect. Thanks.
So there is this is the fifth year of a really interesting literary festival in Woodstock, and it's called Bookstock. And 5 years ago, our local Humanities Council had the idea to create this literary festival. It's been hugely successful. Writers from all over Vermont come, authors. They give talks. There are special sessions on Vermont literature, young writers from Woodstock area schools. There's readings, panels, and workshops on all kinds of writing topics, and it's been hugely successful. The local bookstores take their best books and bring them out onto the green. There's music, there's food and activities for children. It's like a giant sort of literary and educational marketplace. Actually, I don't want to say giant because Woodstock's a fairly small town, but it's a big event for the town, and also the park just really likes to be a part of it. And this is really the perfect kind of venue for us to be involved. The event is from July 26th to July 28th. It's a 3-day literary festival, so this is really really appropriate for us. We're excited.
That's really exciting. In my head, I'm thinking, wait, I'm going to Maine. I think I'll be there those days. I wonder if I can go to Vermont for a couple days.
Oh, Tanya, can I add to you? This is Joan. When we are going to invite a young author to come speak to our youth at the workshop, he's already accepted, and he's a local author, and he's very dynamic, and we just thought he's somebody that the youth can relate to and can inspire them and just let them know, you know, what his life is like as an author and give them a little insight into that.
This is Lisa, and I think a great way of thinking about it that I've been able to put together with listening to everybody talk today is the idea of combining the place itself with the stories of the place. And if we can keep those two threads going during the work that we do with the students this summer, I think it will be a beautiful experience for everybody.
That's very nicely said, Lisa. Thank you. And I think we could say that idea or those two threads seem to run throughout all the work that we've heard about today. This radio show is so great. It's going to really help people around the country think of ideas for collaborations that maybe have never even occurred to them before. So I'd first like to say thank you to all of you for sharing your work and your collaborations. I also know that in that moment of inspiration maybe comes trepidation. So I was hoping we might close if any of you in these last few minutes have any advice for listeners who, inspired by what they've heard today, might be thinking they'd like to start something like this at their park or writing project.
anybody have last words of advice?
I think everyone, this is Mary, I just think everyone here has spoken to this, but just one last sentence. The pre-planning was just so important. Diana Berklich had the knowledge, but we learned so much from visiting the park about things we hadn't thought about. So if there is a TC who's interested but needs more prep in another way, content area, that pre-planning just was invaluable for us. I think Rhonda would probably agree.
I do, and I would like to add that it's all about the team. You know, if anybody does have the trepidation, usually it's because we look at the long to-do list and think we can't pull it off. But the idea is to recruit some really good partners in this project and make sure that the team is there to support each other and help pull each other through, because a person really can't do it alone. So the valuable part of chasing after good partners is a key point that I'd emphasize.
Yeah,
I think
thank
it's
you.
Nice.
Lisa, another thing I would say is we're starting small. We thought about trying to do something bigger and longer and maybe a whole week right off the bat, and then Joan and I, talking together along with Tim, said let's make this something that we feel really we can handle in a really wonderful way first, and then we can build on our great success. So I think not being afraid to start small is a good advice too.
Lisa, that reminds me of something Rhonda and I talked about, piloting with patience. So
great.
Not running forward, but you know, having patience and realizing that you want the pilot to become institutionalized, so to speak, but you have patience to start small. I think that's terrific that you brought that up, Lisa.
We thought about creating the vision together, too, I think makes a difference. We can see the difference here in Philadelphia from last year to this year when we were able to create it together with all your partners rather than going in with some preconceived idea.
Right, approaching our work with inquiry, which I think was one of the great threads that was a commonality between Marsh Billings Rockefeller National Historical Park and the Green Mountain Writing Project, and I'm sure all of your sites and projects too, is that we all approach it with a sense of question and wonder and wanting to know more. So inquiry is a great starting point. I agree.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. I'm really struck by the partnerships that have been built out of these programs or through developing these programs. In part, probably because I'm starting a new project that also pairs writing projects with science and technology centers, so I have this idea of partnership really deeply in my head. But I wonder if anybody would note any particular sort of complementary strength or skill or knowledge base that a partner brought that has enriched your work.
Well, I here in Philadelphia, I can say it's not necessarily with Project Wright, but with another project we were working on, having the partnership with Independence National Historic Park made a big difference for us in creating curricula for another project that works with Common Core, and we had this wonderful partner with all this expertise and all this knowledge that we were able to draw upon, and it turns out we were able to create a course that is place-based and that focuses on Philadelphia, and we're real excited about that.
Thank you. Anyone else? We have time for probably one more idea. Then I would like to thank you all so much. I would, you know, encourage listeners to take advantage of Writing Project and National Park Services in their backyards and to work together on these fantastic collaborations. This is really remarkable work. I know people are going to be very excited to hear about it. So thank you all so much for your being on the radio today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye.